FM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. The white gunman who massacred 10 black people at a Buffalo supermarket has pleaded guilty. Attorney Brian Parker.
Our client pled guilty to every count of the indictment, with the full knowledge that he will spend the rest of his life in prison with no chance of parole.
Today is a big day for online retailers. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Online security expert Tony Anscombe offers one bit of advice about Cyber Monday specials.
If it's from an email, I wouldn't click the link in an email. I'd actually go to the vendor's website directly, open a browser, type in the URL, and go there directly. Find the deal I'm looking for.
Cyber criminals scammed Americans out of $7 billion last year. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Bad weather is hitting parts of the nation. The Weather Channel's Jim Cantore.
Potentially a tornado outbreak across the lower and mid Mississippi Valley. In Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana, up in western Tennessee, very high confidence of a tornado there in the Mississippi Delta. This will be Tuesday afternoon right into the evening hours.
Congress is back in session. A report from CBS's Skyler Henry.
Try to have as productive a lame duck session as possible.
Congress is back in session and they have just 4 weeks to pass a number of bills before the end of the year.
I tell my colleagues, going to be heavy work.
The most pressing issues are passing the Defense Authorization Act and a new spending bill to keep the government open beyond the December 16th deadline. Democrats also have a number of legislative items they would like to get passed before Republicans take control of the House. The Democrats' wish list includes election law reform, the Respect for Marriage Act, raising the debt limit, and additional funding for Ukraine.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at the White House. Here's Stephen Portnoy.
In addition to 83,000 lights, 77 Christmas trees, and 25 wreaths, this year's White House holiday display also features an Independence Hall made of sugar cookies and a framed copy of the Declaration of Independence. It's all part of this year's theme, We the People. Some of the first guests to see the decorations will be the President and First Lady of France, who will attend a state dinner Thursday night, the first to be thrown by the Bidens.
A consumer is challenging the cooking directions for a popular comfort food. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Amanda Ramirez of Hialeah says the company's claim Velveeta's microwavable mac and cheese cups take a mere 3.5 minutes to make is false. She says that only accounts for the actual heating time and not the steps leading up to it, which include tearing off the lid, adding water, and stirring in the cheese sauce. If she'd known the truth, Ramirez says, she never would have purchased the product in the first place.
At the World Cup, Brazil advances to the knockout round. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-874-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end of the year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Pride.
Left corner three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Portage County Sheriff's Office has released the names of the suspect and victim involved in the homicide investigation, which occurred on Sunday, November 27th at approximately 12:26 a.m. Deputies responded to 10263 Yellow Brick Road in the town of Amherst in Portage County following the report that 92-year-old Clarence H. Banks had been shot and killed by 78-year-old Miles W. Bradley. Bradley and Banks both resided at the address. Prior to Banks being shot and killed, Bradley and a third individual who also resides in the house engaged in a verbal argument. Bradley armed himself with a handgun during the argument and made a statement that he was going to kill Banks. When Banks entered the room where the argument was taking place, Bradley shot and killed him. A fourth individual who lived in the residence called the Portage County Communication Center. Bradley was taken into custody and charges have been requested for first-degree intentional homicide. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon with highs around 42. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, lows level off around 33, cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow, a mixture of precipitation likely, high temperatures reach up to 41. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
The universe is here.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. How you doing, big guy?
I'm here, buddy.
You are here.
As far as I'm aware.
I'm conscious. Beautiful, man. And we got Evan on the board producing the show. Evan, how you doing, buddy? He's silently producing the show. That's okay.
That's all right.
Perfect. We're back from the long holiday weekend, man. November is almost the end. Thanksgiving is coming by. I don't know if you realize that, because I know you were still waiting on Halloween.
I'm just now ready for Thanksgiving.
I'm ready for it to start.
Your
last month, excuse me. It's been a long holiday weekend. We're hoping that everybody out there in the listening audience has enjoyed their holiday weekend. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number all hour long. Those phone lines are open. But you got the long holiday weekend behind us now, and there was a lot of headlines going out across the state of Wisconsin over that weekend, so we're going to get into them along with some tangents. But where we're kicking off today's show is a interesting announcement from the state commission that oversees labor negotiations here in the state of Wisconsin on Friday. Smack dab in the middle, Brian, of the holiday weekend. On Friday, they announced that the UW nurses cannot force UW Health to recognize their union, saying that they are part of they are prevented from it due to Act 10, the anti-labor legislation passed by the former Walker administration back in 2011.
What a great law to bring up.
The fact that it's the crutch that's being leaned on by the... Not necessarily the UW Health is leaning on it, but they're using it as a scapegoat, it really seems like, Brian. And there was an excellent piece over at Cap Times written up by Jesse Apoyan talking about how the state commission rules that nurses can't force UW Health to recognize their union. That's the headline over at the Cap Times. And Jesse Apoyan writes in the piece, UW Health nurses cannot legally obtain mandatory union recognition and require the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics Authority to engage in collective bargaining, a state commission ruled Friday. The decision from the Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission, WERC, comes about 2 months after the nurses called off a planned strike following an initial agreement between the two parties in the long-running dispute. Now, Brian, this goes back to 2019. UW nurses have been trying to be recognized in their attempts to unionize since before the COVID-19 pandemic. Before we were applauding and clapping for frontline health workers, UW health nurses were seeking recognition to unionize.
Yeah, I don't understand how they aren't already unionized. I don't understand how this continues to be the way that it is. I mean, nurses are the ones who literally do everything in every hospital. While it does take a doctor with experience and someone who knows what's going on to diagnose and treat certain things or to take the responsibility of diagnosing and treating situations, but who does the bandaging? Who does a lot of the stitching? Who does a lot of the cleanup? Who deals with blood every day? Who deals with coughing every day? Who changes your bedpans? Who does everything for you in that hospital? Can we at least give the nurses a little bit of a union?
Yeah, those orders prescribed by doctors still administered by nurses. And I'm a little biased here, Brian. I'm the product of two nurses. Both my folks were nurses, longtime nurses in the Milwaukee area. My sister is a nurse. My sister-in-law is a nurse. I would love to see the UW Health Administration voluntarily recognize the union, something that they have not done. They could recognize it voluntarily, and that is a step that the nurses at UW Health are going to still be in hope for, but they're going to appeal this decision now, Brian, to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and they're filing a petition with the National Labor Relations Board. And so this is not the end-all be-all of the unionization effort by UW Health, but it is interesting to note the swing justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Brian. Pretty much the decision maker, the kingmaker on the state Supreme Court, Brian Hagedorn, is an interesting player in how this appeal is going to be heard.
Yeah.
Because guess what his job was back in 2011 when Act 10 was passed?
Could it be writing the law?
Could it be that he was the chief legal counsel for the then Governor Walker?
So if he rules against this,
we have a winner.
Yeah, if he rules against this, he'll be ruling against the law that he helped create. Good job.
Well, he's going to be clarifying the question that UW nurses are asking of whether or not UW Health Administration can voluntarily recognize the union, because the administration is saying, well, Act 10 prevents us from being able to recognize the union. It's Act 10's fault. And so it is being used as a scapegoat here. And the person that's going to be the arbiter in determining whether or not UW Health Administration can voluntarily recognize the UW nurses' unionization efforts is one of the core individuals of writing and crafting the anti-union legislation, Act 10.
Wow. I'm sure that this will work out just fine. Just like it worked out for the Kings when they had a better team in 2002 against the Lakers. I'm sure that'll work out really well. Especially since the referees are going to be totally unbiased. Right?
Totally unbiased. Well, that is an interesting question as well, Brian, though. Because, say, when is this appeal going to be heard by the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Because we all know midterms earlier this month were pretty exhausting. A lot of people have checked out of politics. They spent the long weekend with family and loved ones. Maybe they were avoiding politics. Maybe they were like me and put my phone on Do Not Disturb for a lot of the political updates.
You can do that?
Over the weekend.
That's a possibility? You can do that with your phone?
I had to do it. I had to do it for a couple of days over the long weekend, Brian.
See you guys later.
Brian has left the building. But it is interesting to note that this upcoming spring, we're going to have a Supreme Court race here in the state of Wisconsin. The primary is going to be held in February, the general in April. And it will be interesting to me whether or not this appeal is going to be heard by the current Wisconsin Supreme Court as it stands, where Justice Hagedorn is that swing vote, or if this won't be heard until, say, June, when whoever wins the open seat that is on the ballot for the Supreme Court this year, and maybe a little bit more, less already.
Well, this is an opportunity to possibly strike down Act 10 is the point. Right?
Well,
it's an opening,
it
right?
At least an opening for individuals to be able to voluntarily recognize. It doesn't say that unionization efforts can be forced, because normally you have to be able to recognize if employees come together, Brian, and want to unionize, you have to recognize that unionization attempt. But Act 10 gave employers the ability to say, no, we don't have to recognize the union. And so it will be interesting to see when and what makeup of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is going to hear this appeal by UW nurses on whether or not their union can be voluntarily recognized by UW Health.
What I can tell you is that there's a really good chance that the Supreme Court may swing a little bit liberal this time around, right? So what I'm telling you is that there's a really good chance they're going to try and shove this through right now, when there's a really good chance that any ruling strengthening Act 10 will probably end up standing, forcing whoever gets, you know what I mean? So whoever gets, no matter what the outcome of the spring election, it's not like they're going to revisit it now that they have a new court. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my point is that by shoving it in and reaffirming Act 10 before the spring election, I think that's probably their closest move, and they're probably going to do that, I would say. I mean, again, I'm only judging by the entirety of the actions of the Republican Party and the conservatives in this state, who only act on power and keeping in control and making sure that they are never wrong, ever.
Well, it's important to point out as well that Attorney General Josh Call, Democratic Attorney General that just got reelected at the beginning of this past month. It's still November, folks. It's not quite yet.
As far as you know.
As far as we're all aware.
November's just starting just now.
Time is an interesting loop like that, but it is important to point out that Attorney General Josh Call did put out a non-binding opinion, but an opinion saying that UW Health could voluntarily recognize the UW nurses' unionization effort. And so whether or not that will be taken into consideration by the Supreme Court and when is still going to be determined, Brian, but
why voluntarily go in and recognize the people that are the lifeblood of your entire organization? Why would you?
Why would we? But this is less than 3 months out. We're going to have a primary for this race that will determine the makeup of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So now that the holiday weekend is behind us and Brian knows that Halloween is way, way gone, it's time to start focusing on the spring primary and the spring general election, because, folks, they're coming. If you want to share your thoughts on UW Health and the UW Nurses unionization efforts, you can give us a call. This is Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. There was also some other interesting headlines made before the holiday weekend, Brian, talking about the Republican control of the state Senate. And it's pretty interesting. And again, a lot of this happened over the holiday weekend, so I think it's important to talk about, because you don't want to miss this one. It's a lot of important aspects, Brian, of what's going on between now and February and April here in the state of Wisconsin are going to shape that electoral cycle. And it's coming. It's here. It's pretty much already here, Brian. I don't know if you know this. It's practically February.
Dude, don't start with me, man. I already have some issues right now. And I just got to... Hey, listen, folks. Just so you know, I want to make it okay for everybody. If you have issues with your family and whatnot, it's okay. It's okay, because I'm still recovering myself.
Yeah,
it's all right, folks. But that's what Thanksgivings are for.
That's what Thanksgivings are for, folks. You were listening to Dueling Tangents.
That we just did.
See, I've just put a bunch of miles in the car and ate a lot of great food, and I lost in Sheepshead. I think I was behind at the end of the night. We weren't really keeping track, but I think I lost in Sheepshead and put a lot of miles and ate a lot of turkey. But folks, if you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents, and we'll be right back.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists in their own words.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin, on your local Civic Media radio station here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios for Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. Brian's holding down the fort in Waukesha for the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM. And across the state, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, Lake Air in Amory, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, and Radio from the Center in Richland Center. And big guy, I think I now have a new contact photo for you on my phone.
Oh, yeah,
from what you just shared with me.
So my Thanksgiving weekend was not all it wasn't all stress and work, although everybody tried to make it so. That day, Thanksgiving is what I'm told it was. I got to I traditionally carve the turkey when I'm there. This is with Amy's family. Mostly cuz I won't stab anyone with the thing, and I kind of know how to get the breast meat done so that you can cut. So I'm a big thing. I'm a huge turkey skin fan. If you don't like turkey skin, you're wrong. I know how to cut it so that, like, you get the breast right, and then you cut it so that everybody has a little bit of turkey skin along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody gets a little bit of breast meat, and then afterwards, myself and the smart people get to pick the bottom of the turkey, which is where the good meat is. Anyway,
That delicious dark meat.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's so good. And once you get those oysters, those are mine. The oysters, the little things in the bag.
Are all yours. Oysters are all yours. I'll eat dark meat, light meat. I'll eat it all.
So good. Anyway,
turkey skin.
Point is, they throw an apron on me when comes up to the, you know, an apron. It actually fits me. It's pretty nice. But at the time, I took off my shirt. And then someone was like, you should wear a tank top next time. I'm like, oh, I'll just roll up my sleeves then. So I rolled up my sleeves and realized I was looking like a haggard butcher. So I started...
Yeah, you look like you could fit right in Brooklyn or someplace in Denver.
So
yeah.
I started carving the turkey with my with a Scottish accent. I'm like, would you like some meat, ladies? Come over here, let me cut up your meat for you. Would you like some turkey skin? So nice.
It was fun. And then now I have the photo on my phone, and it will be the picture every time you call me.
That will remind... So every time you need to throw up at some point, just go, that guy was touching my turkey.
I got to call Brian right now.
Actually...
Oh, see, we got turkey so many different ways, because we did Friendsgiving, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and Kelsey made a delicious turkey. Then on Thanksgiving, her uncle smoked his turkey, and then my brother-in-law at my sister's house made a delicious turkey as well. And so I got... I think I may have overdone it a little bit on turkey, Brian, but it was definitely an enjoyable. There's so many leftovers.
I almost ran away.
An enjoyable long weekend.
I almost ran away to Madison to escape everything, mostly because Alan Robinson was cooking a fried. He was frying a turkey.
He did. He deep fried his turkey.
My goodness, I almost ran out there because. Mostly to escape, but also the turkey. So
yeah, I did not have any deep fried turkey this go around, so I'll have to put that on the agenda for next Thanksgiving.
Guys, you don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to fry a turkey. In fact, Blaine's right now probably
has. Look at you weird when you do it in the middle of like June, though. If you go order a full bird,
you know what? They're gonna look at you weird when they're realizing they don't have meat and you do. You know, so there's no wrong time to smoke or eat or to carve or just fry. Yeah. As long as you give me the skin, we're going to be all right. But we're going to go to...
Well, you want to know what's... Yeah, let's head over to the phone.
I was going to go to the phones and get the skinny from Tom from Cedarburg. How you doing, Tom? It's been a while.
Oh, good. I enjoy the dark meat also on a turkey and a chicken. I was wondering, do you know on that Madison board with the nurses, is there any Scott Walker holdovers? That's my first question. And my next is... I noticed some commercials are really quiet, but some are really loud. I was wondering if that's been looked
at. Tom, I'm in the middle of figuring that out right now myself. Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate your call. That's part of actually why what I've been dealing with over the Thanksgiving break there, buddy.
Yeah. That is an excellent question. I do not know if anybody on the Wisconsin Wisconsin Employment Relations Board is a Walker holdover. We know that there's been more than 100 appointees from Governor Tony Evers that have yet to receive approval from the state Senate. And it's an excellent tangent because, Tom, you bring us over to our next story. Because Devin LeMahieu will not have a supermajority come January in the state Senate anymore, Brian. And that is a huge breaking story right before the Thanksgiving long weekend.
Jeez. And they actually had a 5-minute conversation with the governor. The longest they've had in their entire existence.
Good for them, right? They got off their butts and did 5 minutes of work talking to the governor since they wrapped up legislation back in the first week of March. But Devin LeMahieu will not have a 2/3 majority because he will be one state senator shy. Longtime serving state senator Alberta Darling from River Hills in the Milwaukee area, northern suburbs of Milwaukee, pretty gerrymandered district. But she announced, Brian, last week that she will be retiring from her state Senate seat come this Thursday, December 1st.
She must be having the same problem I do, where I think it's going to be Halloween soon. And because that's normally something you do before the election that's taking place.
Well, she wasn't on the ballot this past cycle. So her state Senate seat was good. She got reelected in 2020. She was good to serve out through 2025, I believe.
Are they going to have a special election now? Is it going to be...
that's an excellent question.
Again... What does time matter when, you know, you could have had an election and maybe had a new senator in there, but now they're just going to go without representation for a while. That's good.
Well, like we pointed out, there's
kind of like they were before anyway,
soon.
So all right.
There is an election coming up soon across the state with the state Supreme Court race and other local elections, but I have a feeling we're going to get this one tacked on as well. It'll be interesting with the timing. We're going to keep an eye on it, but Devin LeMahieu not getting a supermajority for Thanksgiving, so stinks to be him.
Well, Alberta, I hope you let the door hit you on the way out, because that's what you deserve. See ya.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
I don't think she was very good at her job. Just want to clarify that.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com. Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra.
Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year. Watch football and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, which is now a radio show. That's right, I'm taking the same fun and uncomplicated approach to talking about state and local news to the airwaves. Starting July 5th, me and my friends from all parts of the state and all different backgrounds will break down the Wisconsin headlines in a way that informs, entertains, and hopefully makes you laugh. Tune in to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 on 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Marshfield community came together on Sunday to honor the memory of Cameron Kirschbaum, who died from an overdose more than a month ago. Tattoo artists from across the state provided fresh ink to hundreds of people during a 12-hour tattoo benefit to continue Kirschbaum's legacy. His father, Thomas Kirschbaum, is a tattoo artist and owner of Midwest Tattooers in Marshfield, and Cameron had begun an apprenticeship with him before his death. The event also had music, raffle baskets, and Sharpie tattoos for kids. The Wisconsin Elections Commission meets this week to certify the November 8th vote. County election managers finished their count last week. There are no recounts in any statewide races this year. Once the ballots are certified Wednesday morning, we'll have an official number for voter turnout. In sports, Philadelphia beat the Packers last night. The Bucks beat Dallas, and Luke Fickell is introduced today as the Badgers' new football coach. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon with highs around 42. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight, lows level off around 33, cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow, a mixture of precipitation likely, high temperatures reach up to 41. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
Thursday, and so her seat was not on the ballot earlier this month on the midterm election. She was elected to her most recent term in 2020, and this is going to be kind of a mid-seat vacancy. And so Governor Tony Evers is on the governor here in the state of Wisconsin to call a special election. It is interesting. I don't know the specific breakdown of whether or not this is going to be able to occur between now and the spring election, or if it can coincide with the spring elections coming up in February and April. But
like everything, it'll depend on what the Republicans feel or how they can take advantage of it the most way. That's really all that's going. That's the only scheduling thought that is going to happen.
I don't think that they get to play a whole. There's not a huge role for them to play in the scheduling of this. I think it comes down to you have to have. It's like timelines for filing papers and being able to make sure that the candidates that want to announce get the proper paperwork filed and signatures in. That's what it comes down to, is if there's enough time. And I want to say, as our friend Annalise Eicher informed us a few weeks, just over a week, no, about 2 weeks ago now, week and a half ago.
Time has no meaning. It's cool.
December 1st is when filing papers can begin to circulate. And so I believe there could still be plenty of time for a candidate to be able to file candidacy in a special election and qualify for the ballot come February and April. And you'll never guess, Brian, what representatives, because a lot of the time when it comes to state Senate, you look to the state assembly districts that are in that state Senate district to see who the potential individuals will be stepping up to run for that higher office. And do you want to guess at whose districts are in Alberta Darling State Senate District?
Very small bench in this incestual group of folks. So what is it?
Well, the most interesting one that caught my eye, and I thought it was pretty interesting, Janelle Branchin.
What?
Janelle Branchin's district is also, her state assembly district is in this state Senate district, Brian. And so she's been scorned by the Republican caucus in the state assembly. And I think it will be interesting of whether or not she runs for the
state. And there's a really good
now.
Chance that she would win, too.
And she could win.
And this is
a Republican-leaning district.
We'd be mad, and they'd be mad, and everybody would be mad. And it would be just, you know, the schadenfreude alone would be delicious. But also, like, it's awful.
Well, and I think
it's like watching Twitter implode. You're like, it's awesome, but also that sucks because a lot of people really like it and use it a lot. But also, it's exactly what you freaking deserve, but also, yeah. It's awful.
I did not have Elon Musk subtweeting Apple on Twitter about and then later responding to his own tweet calling out Tim Cook himself on my 2022 bingo card. I did not have that on my 2022 bingo card, Brian. But yes, it's very fascinating to me that Janelle Branchin, the sole member of the Republican caucus in the state assembly that got kicked out of the closed-door caucus meeting because she had lost trust of Robin Voss and fellow Republicans.
These people,
she went against Robin Voss for not doing more. We lit $1.2 million on fire, hiring Michael Gableman to go on a wild goose chase to find quote-unquote election fraud that did not exist. And the only ramification is Janelle Branchin gets kicked out of a closed-door Republican caucus meeting here in the state of Wisconsin. And now the state senator that represents her district is retiring, and she may have a very good shot at running and winning the special election that will be constructed for this state Senate district, Brian.
This is fantastic.
On the Democratic side, I think it's also important to point out that one of the districts that flipped from red to blue with the 2011 gerrymandered maps, Deb Andraca, state representative from the, I forget the specific district name, but represents portions of Ozaukee County. She has announced that she will not be seeking this seat. She just got done running a campaign to get reelected to the state assembly, and she wants to focus time not campaigning. So one of her daughters will be going off to college next fall, so she wants to be able to still focus on family time, and she will not be seeking a candidacy for the state Senate, but she's going to stay in her seat in the state assembly, which is important as well, Brian, because if Republicans picked up that district, they'd be one seat closer. They would have the supermajority in the state assembly. So Deb Andraca not leaving the state assembly to run for the state Senate seat, but there's a possibility that Janelle Branchin could.
Yeah, but again, I got to ask if the Dems are going to run anybody, because that would mean that again, this is just one race, so there'd be a spotlight on it, so they can't just hide behind a whole bunch of other races to not fund it. When they're probably not going to. Oh, is it too soon? Should I not bring up the Brad Path thing again? Because my God. Seriously, yeah, like I mean, are the Democrats going to even show any sort of like move? Look, this is the best they have is Janelle Branch and someone they kicked out of their own caucus. You know, is that how it's going to work out again? Could we put anybody else up there?
It will be interesting to see if there is another Democratic candidate or multiple Democratic candidates, because there could be primaries for both of the parties in this seat.
I guarantee you, and just like the last time, it's going to be a whole bunch of primaries, and they're going to kick out anybody with any progressive thing, and they're going to go with the person who's like 400 years old and everybody knows.
I don't know the district well enough, the state senate district that well, to be able to say yes.
I'm sorry, I've been burned before.
You've been burned before, yes. But it will be interesting to see what both the Republican and Democratic parties choose to do heading into this special election for this seat, because it's also important to point out that these are the areas of the state, the WOW counties. This state senate seat represents portions of Milwaukee, of Waukesha, of Ozaukee, and of Washington counties. And so the area where Tim Michaels lost the most ground compared to 2018 numbers that Scott Walker got are in the WOW counties as well. Not as much Washington, but Ozaukee and Waukesha County, Tim Michaels lost ground in, and it could be a pickup seat for a good Democratic candidate to flip this seat away from the Republican gerrymander that we've been experiencing. So the ramifications of this special election are going to be a lot, but it means people have to go out and vote, Brian, because I have a feeling that the reason this seat, you know, I don't want to be cynical or anything, but the fact that
don't worry, I'm pulling the weight for both of us if you're not.
Obviously today. If this was something long-time plans by State Senator Darling, you would have maybe seen her retire before the election and just let it coincide with the midterms that we had earlier this month.
Can't like be said, easy, buddy.
We just had that. But what if that was known, and rather than allow a high voter turnout, because even though midterms are a lower turnout compared to presidential, they're much higher than spring elections, Brian.
Yep.
And if you wanted to be able to, I don't know, say hedge your bets that this seat remains in Republican control, getting out and then having the special election coincide with that spring election rather than the midterm elections would be a pretty good strategy to take if you wanted to keep it in Republican control.
I think it would be really fantastic if Janelle Branch ran and won, because then Frankenstein's monster will have come full circle to come in and take control of the Republican Party. Because again, and I think it's really fantastic because she is running. She really likes to run for things during these elections when her number one issue is voter fraud. Was there a lot? Because again, I heard a lot of people complaining about the election is stolen. We can't have absentee ballot drop boxes. We got to do all this stuff because the election is suspect. And oh my goodness, how much fraud was found? Or they just stopped talking about it when they won because that I won, so it's okay. And then again, it was a split decision across the country, so nobody can really complain that it was rigged. Oh my goodness, it's almost like you were making it up and it was all BS anyway.
Well, that's a very fascinating thing, Brian, because one of the other things, as I did catch over the weekend, was a story over at the Associated Press. AP reporting, new state voter fraud units finding few cases from midterms. And so, I think it's important to point out, Wisconsin did more than any other state when it comes to trying to overturn the 2020 elections. Robin Voss lit on fire more than $1.2 million. But other states that had unified Republican control took other steps, Brian. Rather than look back at 2020 and try to throw uncertainty and undermine the integrity of elections by saying there was fraud without actually having any fraud to point to, Republicans around the country that had, say, a Republican governor and the Republican legislature to work with, decided, well, we're going to do a crackdown for future elections. We're going to create these units that are only tasked with going and finding the widespread fraud we claim there is to be in the electoral process here in the United States. And this is the first time that we got to see those highly specific units go out and identify cases of voter fraud, Brian. But not exactly, because the state-level law enforcement units created are having a hard time investigating cases because there's not many cases of voter fraud to go out and find.
Huh.
Weird. Weird.
Maybe we should merge them in the Department of Bigfoot. Because they probably have the same amount of issues. And then when you run it down, oh yeah, it was probably just an idiot on the field somewhere.
Ample amount of time on their hands for that law division.
Look, they have two separate shows finding Bigfoot and then Bigfoot stories or something like that on several different networks, and people, they have multiple seasons of these shows for a reason, and I assume it's all Republican voters.
Yeah, and so this is reading from a piece over at the AP, Brian. Florida, Georgia, and Virginia created special state-level units after the 2020 election, all pushed by Republican governors, attorneys general, or legislatures. Quote, I'm not aware of any significant detection of fraud on election day, but that's not surprising, said Paul Smith, senior vice president of the Campaign Legal Center. The whole concept of voter impersonation fraud is such a horribly exaggerated problem.
And a stupid idea for anyone to go and espouse. Just wanted to say it.
And there are already crimes and law enforcement on the books. If you try to be a different voter on election day and you get caught, it doesn't work. You're going to go to jail. Those laws are already in place, Brian. And that's what this individual, Paul Smith, says, is the whole concept of voter impersonation fraud is such a horribly exaggerated problem. It doesn't change the outcome of the election. It's a felony. You risk getting put in jail if you have a high possibility of getting caught. It's a rare phenomena.
Uh-huh.
And so...
It's like exactly what we've said. Up until the election, anytime anyone talks about voter fraud, anybody brings up the 2000 Mules, which is a stupid movie for stupid people to watch, it's just a dumb idea and has been disproven over and over again. And I know it's a dumb idea because every single opportunity that anybody has ever had to go and present with any sort of evidence whatsoever about any sort of voter fraud, any sort of election integrity thing, has been disproven over and over and over again by multiple sources, by Republican sources, by independent sources, by freaking Martians. Martians will exist as a sentient being before these things actually come to fruition. My point is, it never happened. And if you're espousing that there was voter fraud and people are still voting for you, there's a stupid situation going on there, and probably you're part of it.
And that may get you sent to the state Senate here in Wisconsin. But it's important to point out, Brian, that Florida, Georgia, and Virginia, those Republican governors, DeSantis in Florida, Youngkin in Virginia, and Kemp in Georgia. And those three individuals are going to try to ride this wave of voter suppression tactics that Trump used leading up to his presidency and throughout his presidency.
You mean how he got elected Governor Kemp in the first place? By throwing off people off the voting rolls beforehand? Because he was the Secretary of State and he was running for governor and he ran the election. But there was nothing fishy there. It's definitely all the voters that was on.
Yeah. And so these three
people
governors are going to try to parlay these Trump and MAGA opinions or policy, whatever you want to refer to the obsession with voter fraud that doesn't exist. They're going to try to parlay that into presidential runs in 2024, depending on how things shake out.
I have an idea. Why don't you go and ask that elf before it flies back to the North Pole tonight whether you can get Santa to go and get you some voter fraud evidence at all. Ask the elf. I'm sure when you go to bed, Mom, you'll move the elf later on.
This is Dueling Tangents. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We got one more segment left in the day. We're going to be right back.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
We all know to dial 911 to reach law enforcement and protective services. And now community information and referral can be reached with an easy-to-remember three-digit telephone number. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Who provides respite services in the community? They know. Where can you find your child a tutor or mentor? They know. Find the answers to these questions and more by dialing 211, the place to get connected and to get answers. Dial 211.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can also follow Civic Media at Civic Media US. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here, I'm just pulling stations out of the ground effectively is what Brian does. It's magic. It's just like, it's almost like I Dream a Genie, where you just go and you just blink and then you make a new station appear, Brian.
No, but that's how some people think it happens.
No, it's not how it happens. But if you want to stay up to date with how with what we're doing, and maybe stay in touch with the next station that may be popping up in your neck of the woods, go to civicmedia.us. You can sign up to learn more. You can see all the stations we do currently have and all the excellent programming offered across those stations. And Brian, one of the other huge aspects of the long holiday weekends. I know your Patriots played on Thursday night. You got a little Thanksgiving edition of them.
I was busy making more Manhattans for myself and did not watch the disappointing end to that game.
I didn't catch the end either. All I saw was they kept being tied. Yeah, and I was rooting for the Pats, man. I was rooting for them.
Like I do every week. So that's very good. I'm not worried about them. I think they'll probably make the playoffs and maybe do a little
still in
damage,
the hunt. And everybody talks about the really strong divisions out there. AFC East is a pretty good one.
Finally,
too,
a strong
like it doesn't
division.
Get talked about. Yeah,
that's fine.
Everybody's talking about the NFC East and the AFC West.
The NFC East is the most overrated and has always been the most overrated, and like in all of sports, all the entire the Dallas Cowboys are probably the most overrated team and the most underachieving team I have ever seen in my entire life. My goodness, ever since they beat the crap out of Buffalo they pretty much have just let people down over and over again. Yet every year someone goes, you know what? You know, these Dallas, how about them Cowboys?
About them Cowboys?
At least when people say it about the Lions, everyone laughs at them. I don't understand why people don't.
The Lions have a good record this year. Well, not good, but Lions have got
every
more
year
wins,
the
I think.
Lions are so mediocre and they just look like they're gonna be so great but end up being mediocre no matter what.
I love the heart that team puts in. Yeah, like, you can tell that they're all like nobody wants to go to Detroit. That's got to be like the hardest. Nobody.
They made the best running back of all time and the best receiver of all time. Stop wanting to play football. Not wanting to play for the Lions, just football in general. They just said, you know what? This sport isn't for me anymore after having experienced the Lions.
Mm-hmm. Well,
how does a team have the best running back ever and the best wide receiver ever and never have won anything of significance?
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Brian.
It's Scott Mitchell's fault. And Wayne Fonts. Anyway.
Packer fans may get a chance to get to see a little more Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt yesterday.
And a lot more of football. The offseason. Good for you guys. You get a little bit more offseason break.
It is a gift that the Packers organization is giving to the state of Wisconsin so we can focus more on Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Honestly, you should probably
how I'm going to take it.
Guys, honestly, if you haven't experienced Giannis Antetokounmpo or at least enjoyed him as just as a human being in general, You're missing out, and you should get behind it and thank your lucky stars that you have Giannis and company, because that's a special team with special people.
He was playing with, I don't know if it was Brooke Lopez's or his son Liam's toy Rex, from the dinosaur from Toy Story. Uh-huh. He was playing with it during a timeout, like on the bench last night at the Bucks' victory over the Mavericks.
The next Mavericks team in the gauntlet. The next poor team that has to deal with dealing with the Bucks.
Yeah. And so there was Milwaukee Bucks on this weekend. There was the Packer game last night. World Cup. I've been keeping a focus on all of the matches. U.S. is going to be playing Iran tomorrow.
Not without controversy.
Win and go home. Yeah. The head coach for U.S. men's national team got asked why he hasn't asked Biden to remove the warship that is currently, outside of their country.
As a soccer coach, this totally comes under my purview. You're a smart person for asking this question. What insight you've shown.
To ask it at a press conference for the men's national team's coach. I thought that was comical. And first, again, gets back to how parody is almost it's a very difficult thing to do, Brian.
No one watches SNL anymore because they're bad. But separate from that, parody is dead.
I thought it was an Onion article, and it wasn't. It was a real-life headline before the U.S. men's national team's match tomorrow leading up to that. And I was like, this has got to be fake. But no, it was real. But the big news here in Wisconsin, outside of all the what was played, Badgers lost to the Golden Gophers, Minnesota Golden Gophers, on Saturday. I was at the game at Camp Randall. And after that loss, they announced that they are bringing in Luke Fickell to be the new head coach for the Badgers.
Could not be a better name for the state.
Fickell. Hey, man, I like his name. I think it sounds great.
It's because you're a Badgers fan.
No, it's because his name's Luke.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part. I'm focused on the Fickell part, and I forget that your name is Luke, too. But that's also because I call you Evan half the time anyway.
That's true. I just get called whatever person you think you're talking to me about.
And I call Evan Luke. Look, listen. That's better than I get. My mom calls me three dead dogs before she gets to my name. So, it's true.
That's how it goes.
I wish I was joking.
And that's the Thanksgiving weekend takeaways, folks. No, but if you want to hear more about Luke Fickell and what he's going to be bringing to the UW Badgers football program, you can tune in for a press conference at 4 p.m. today. It's going to be taken by portions of the Devil's Advocates, I hear. So you're going to want to stay tuned. You're going to hear from that. It's pretty interesting because we're already seeing he was previously the head coach for the Cincinnati Bearcats.
Uh-huh.
And there are already Bearcats that are announcing that they're entering the transfer portal, Brian. Some of the top recruits around the nation, because he took Cincinnati to the college football playoffs, if not last year, the year before. And so he brought a lot of hype to Cincinnati, and now he's bringing that hype potentially to Madison.
Luke Fickell with a new Badgers slogan.
Badgers? Badgers? We don't need no stinking Badgers!
We have Bearcats instead.
Bringing in the Bearcats to help the Badgers. But hell of a sports weekend as well, Brian. So we've got all these headlines. We've got the UW Nurses Union going to be seeking a appeal with the state Supreme Court. And that appeal going to be heard by Brian Hagedorn and the National Labor Relations Board as well. We've got State Senator Alberta Darling retiring. And a ton of sports updates, along with no cases of voter fraud in the states that they instituted voter fraud to go look. They instituted state, local law enforcement patrols to seek out that voter fraud, and they didn't find anything.
Well, most of the voter fraud that was perpetrated was done so in public, right here in the state, as a political stunt.
As all political theater. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of this great show, go check out the podcast. Go to civicmedia.us. You can learn more about the show, the stations. You can sign up to be in the know for where we're going next. And you can stay tuned because we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We've got Matt Flynn Direct coming up next across the Civic Media Network. And stay tuned for the Luke Fickell press conference, new Wisconsin Badgers head coach. You can catch that for sure on Lake Eyre and Amory, WXCE 1260 AM. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered to truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.